Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10. It is Thursday, the 9th of January, 2025. And the deepest part of the freeze has occurred overnight and is still continuing in parts of the country. The coldest place in the island right now, lowest temperatures recorded overnight, Mullingar in County Westmeath. It was -7.5. It was also -7 in Athenry in Galway and the same beyond in Carlo. So keep the Christmas lights on in places and all your thoughts to us in the usual fashion. Whether you're thawed out or still frozen, the WhatsApp is 087 032 32 32. You can text 51551 and you can email oliver@rte.ie. Now, I was actually looking at the wintry conditions online and there are people skiing in Ireland at the moment. I saw a video of families on skis going downhill in Boreen in Kerry and another one on a hill in a field in Laois. Brett Igo, he posted a video from the alpine slopes of Laois where very capable youngsters were sliding downhill in skis. It used to be fertiliser bags filled with straw in my day with your arse getting rutted by frozen cattle tracks. But no, in 2025 it's helmets and full North Face and Salomon skis. Is that how you pronounce that brand? By the way, an important state broadcaster note, we do not recommend it is safe to ski on the snowy climbs and hills of the Midlands and Munster. Check your insurance for further details. You know yourself at this stage. Anyway, I want to tell you this morning about our guest. Dr. Mark Rowe is coming into us because it is the time of the year when the press and the social media do be full of health and weight loss tips and recipes that are going to do this, that and everything for you. It's kind of overwhelming at times. Which diet to try, what exercise you should start in, how much you should start with and all of that. Well, he's a practicing GP from Waterford, or down in Waterford, Dr. Mark Rowe. So he's going to separate all the nonsense and tell us the truth and the facts. So if you want some advice from him, do get in touch with us, please. The text is 51551 and the WhatsApp 087 032 32 32. Things like, I'm following this particular diet and this is my lifestyle and so on. Should I do it? You'll think of the questions yourself and fire them into us and we'll put them to him, won't we? Now, the wildfires in California that I mentioned here yesterday have become a really enormous story now. They're encroaching on LA itself, having torched parts of the surrounding Hollywood Hills, which they are there, and that's home to many secluded mansions, but it's now veering towards the very heavily populated areas. And as you heard in the news, 5 people have died so far in these fires. And what's happened basically is a very, very dry December. It is wintertime over there in California as well, but they expect most, if not all, of their rain to happen in December, January, but it just hasn't happened. It's been a dry December. The annual rain didn't occur and you've got these January winds. They call them the Santa Ana winds. I love how they name the winds over there, but they do. The Santa Ana winds are very, very strong and they're causing these wildfires to spread like crazy. And the New York Times is saying this is the worst blaze in Los Angeles history. More than 100,000 people are under mandatory evacuation orders and the latest blaze is now threatening LA landmarks, which are associated, with the city's glamour, the history of the American movie industry. It's less than a mile west of the Hollywood Bowl. This is the one of the two major fires. They're calling the Sunset Fires, and the Hollywood Bowl is one of the biggest entertainment venues over there and it's inside an evacuation zone. The Dolby Theatre, that's where the Oscars are held. The Chinese Theatre, which is the iconic building on Sunset Boulevard or Hollywood Boulevard. And the Capitol Records building. And they're also in this zone of mandatory evacuations. A wealthy area bordered by Mulholland Drive and Hollywood Boulevard. And these are the names that evoke the kind of grandeur and romance of the film industry. Evacuation warnings are stretching now into Beverly Hills. The Hollywood sign is near the evacuation area, as is the Griffith Observatory. There are incredible photos and videos, dramatic scenes on news sites this morning, with fires obviously destroying natural landscapes that have escaped fires to date, but this is the worst one they've had. And they're filled with wildlife, of course, and there's also strips and parades of shops and homes in what they call the Pacific Palisades. And that's where a lot of the kind of the millionaire movie stars live. And the actor Billy Crystal, he's 76 years of age now, and his wife Janice, they lost their home. And it's not a holiday home. It's their home of 46 years, just razed to the ground. They put out a statement. Words cannot describe the enormity of the devastation we're witnessing and experiencing. We ache for our friends and neighbours who have also lost their homes and their businesses in this tragedy. So they've lived in this house since 1979. They say, we raise our children and our grandchildren here. Every inch of the house is filled with love, beautiful memories that can't be taken away. We are heartbroken, but with the love of children and friends, we'll get through this as well. So it's extraordinary. Paris Hilton as well. She's lost. It's her holiday home in the fires. Eugene Levy, who's from, he's a Canadian. His main mansion is in Toronto, but his house totally destroyed. John Goodman's lost a house. James Woods, it's his family home. Musician Mandy Moore. And there are lots of people being evacuated. Mark Hamill, Ben Affleck, Reese Witherspoon. Obviously, this is why I suppose these names add the glamour to the whole thing. Although the main concern at the moment of authorities is the fact that it's heading to densely populated parts of that city that's never seen fires like this before. You've got firefighters coming from across America to protect those areas. But the houses over there, and when you see the pictures of them, there's nothing left. They're timber made. There's no block building like we have on this side of the Atlantic. They use stucco or stucco plaster and wood, and they burn easily. And when they do, there is literally nothing left. Metal staircases to nowhere left hanging in the haze. Lesser important things, the Oscar nominations, they're due to happen Friday week, tomorrow week. They've been postponed into Sunday now because of the organisation that has been postponed in the run up to it. But the Screen Actors Guild nominations, they cancelled their press conference yesterday afternoon, which would have been overnight, but they have announced the shortlists. I'll come to that in a second. On the political front, Joe Biden, he was due to do his final trip abroad, which was to meet the Pope in Italy and the leader, Giorgio Meloni, who's the far-right Prime Minister of Italy. He's cancelled the 3-day trip to Italy to remain in the US and coordinate the federal response to those fires. And he was scheduled to leave after the funeral of President Jimmy Carter, which is happening today. Goodness, that took quite a long time, but he was lying in state. And also on the president on the political front, the California governor, Gavin Newsom, he's obviously in charge of things there, and he's been clashing with the president-elect Donald Trump, injecting kind of national politics into this big crisis in the city. Gavin Newsom, by the way, side note, is likely to be a future presidential candidate for the Democrats. He may well have been had Kamala Harris not been the Veep. So Donald Trump, he's been sought to pin, this is the Washington Post, to pin the catastrophe on the Democrat governance of the state of California. He's been blaming Gavin Newsom's water management decisions for fires, an idea that water experts are disputing. He says it's a true disaster and has blamed Newsom for the wildfires during his first terms, suggesting that California should have raked the forests better and that the water policy has been a disaster. And that's the reason for these fires, is what Donald Trump is saying. Trump's contention that Newsom's water management decisions are to blame for the severity of the fires is not supported by the facts, according to multiple water experts telling the Washington Post. There's no relationship between federal and state water management and the intensity of these fires or the ability to people fight the fires. So they're kind of saying it's the lack of rain and severe winds that have created the dangerous conditions and have spread the fire. Right now, Southern California has ample water supplies. The reservoirs are full. They're well above historical averages. But she wouldn't let the facts stand in the way of politics now in no part of the world. Yeah, the Screen Actors Guild award nominations were announced despite the fires. They're important award nominations in the acting categories because they're a strong indication of who's going to score the nods and the shortlist for the Oscars themselves. And so it's basically being led by a complete unknown in the acting front. The Bob Dylan biopic has 4 acting nominations, so in each of the categories, including one for the lead actor Timothée Chalamet. There's also 3 nominations for Anora. You're going to hear a lot more about that film. It follows a New York stripper's romance with the son of a wealthy Russian, all set in New Jersey. It's supposed to be very funny, and it's basically a romantic comedy. The snubs and surprises, that's where the interesting place is. Angelina Jolie was expected to be nominated for her performance as Maria Callas, but she didn't make the BAFTAs long list. Didn't win anything at the Golden Globes, and now that's not looking good for her. Nicole Kidman is in Baby Girl. She also didn't get a Screen Actors Guild nomination here. So who did? Big surprise, Pamela Anderson has been nominated for The Last Showgirl. What's that about? It's about an aging Las Vegas dancer who struggles to find work when her show abruptly closes. And it kind of follows that comeback story that's surrounding Demi Moore at the moment. Jamie Lee Curtis as well, nominated for the same film as the Pamela Anderson. And the biggest shock is the absence of Denzel Washington for Gladiator 2. No nominations at all for Gladiator. It's running out of momentum now into the award season. What's the Irish interest? Well, the Irish interest is in the TV category because they give awards in TV for this, the SAG Awards, as they call them. And it's Colin Farrell who won the Golden Globe. He's going up against Andrew Scott again. Poor old Andrew Scott gets snubbed all the time. And Nicola Coughlan has been nominated for Bridgerton as well. But the best actor nominations are the ones that are expected to be in the Oscars. Adrian Brody for The Brutalist, Timothée Chalamet for The Bob Dylan Thing, Daniel Craig in Queer, Colman Domingo in Sing Sing, don't know what that's about, and Ralph Fiennes in Conclave, which is the best thing I've seen in quite some time. There you go. It's the world of celebrity, but it's the concern is for the regular people of Los Angeles at the moment. Oh yeah, I want to bring that. This is more relevant to us now here at home. Okay, what do you think the salary of a stay at home parent would be if you kind of paid them the wages for all the work they do? Because there's a study that has analysed the typical, you know, day to day tasks, responsibilities of stay at home mothers and stay at home fathers, and they researched the cost of employing someone to do all of this work based on current wage data. So they look at the cost of childcare that's being supplied by a stay-at-home parent, cooking, cleaning, driving the children to school and other activities. And a survey showed that 90% of people underestimated the monetary value of a stay-at-home parent. The estimated annual salary, €57,000. That's how much work you stay-at-home parental heroes are doing. And after tax, I think it would be around, it's around kind of late 30s. It's around 43 grand after tax is what you'd be getting into your hand. The survey found, no surprise here, women are three times more likely than men to accurately stay at home, to accurately be the stay-at-home parent, basically. This is an analysis carried out by a pension and life insurance provider. They reckon there are 272,000, well, it's in the census, 272,000 stay-at-home parents. 90% of them are women. And this reminds us of an article from a few days ago in the Irish Times, very good, about being a stay-at-home parent. And basically, it's not unusual for the stay-at-homers to be told they're very lucky. You're very lucky that you can afford to stay at home, and who wouldn't want to spend more time with their children? But what about the people who don't like being at home? What if they find it boring and unfulfilling in their lives, and that maybe they regret their choice to stay at home, and then they consider it too late to go back in? So they had chats with stay-at-home parents, and it's fascinating. One mother is told, she's constantly told how lucky she is to be at home. But she talks about how difficult it is, particularly the financial sacrifice. My children have never been on an airplane, one mother says, due to financial burden of being at home, and her friend who works outside can go off on a whim whenever she wants. There's the other side too. If you're at home, your parents get elderly, it falls to the person who's always been at home to look after them, rather than being shared more equally between herself and other siblings who are working outside the home, basically. There are other mothers as well who talk about that they, stayed at home during their maternity leave and wanted to go back to work. But of course, there's an unexpected diagnosis. There can be a disability, or in the case of this particular mum, an autism diagnosis, which means basically that they can't go back to work because the choice is taken from me, she says. There's such an amount of appointments to go to, so much advocacy that has to be done. And as she really wants to return to work, this mother, and is constantly being told by people, "Ash, you're very lucky to be at home." And then when she says, "I'd like to actually go back to work," they're like, "Oh my God, how would you be coping with that? And who's going to mind your child? Will the child be okay?" She says much of this criticism comes from women. "You can't talk about the bitterness," she says. "I'm at home all the time. It almost feels like I haven't gone out and done a hard day's work." that's a huge issue, to feel that you're not really working because you're doing all of the slaving at home, because that's what it is if you're not being paid. Childcare costs take the option off the table from another mother of four. She says childcare would have been costing more than I'm actually making because there are four children. There's also the fear of losing the state benefit supports like medical cards, having the rent costs increases if they go back to work. Huge issues. And other people just talking about parenthood being all consuming for them, and constantly doubting yourself. If you don't have a career in terms of paid work, then you're just, your identity is being somebody's mother. Is what them. So I think it's a fascinating area. Oliver@rte.ie is the email. If you want to have the chat with us, we'll bring that with us. Not many discussions happen, of course, or not enough, between whether it's the mother or the dad who ends up staying at home. And this leads on to a story in the London Times, which is that men are sadder if their wives earn more for them, according to an analysis of married couples in Sweden, which is just about the most kind of equal... egalitarian society we have. Closer to the polls you go, they say it gets fair and more egalitarian, with the exception of maybe some parts of the world. By the way, if you are someone who maybe didn't get the opportunity to finish your education or college, because back in the day the stay at home was a different issue, maybe you want to go to college, and you can certainly do that if you're down around University College Cork, because I didn't know this initiative existed, even though it's now in its 18th year. But basically a series of free lectures for people who never went to college before, that take place between January and April. Everything from food and science to dinosaurs. Lectures aimed at a lay audience, so non-academic audience. And leading UCC scientists will be talking about a range of topics such as how science works, the circular economy, energy and the environment, rediscovering dinosaurs, rethinking chemicals in everyday life, and plant-based foods and so on, sustainable and nutritious foods and all of that sort of stuff. So there's no fee for these lectures. They're completely free if you can, if you're available to go down to UCC to do these lectures. All you have to do is register to attend. To see the full list of what's on offer and to express an interest, go to the Science in Society public lectures homepage of UCC, which I presume is ucc.ie.